Welcome back to the Press Box and a great week of racing coming up this great weekend, the last weekend of February. And thank goodness we got a lead through, Ed, or we'd miss out on two great days of racing.
That's right. Yeah, we'd be into March for sure. And, yeah, looking forward to 229. A lot of money on the line overseas and right here at home.
Well, you know, it's a good thing we get that one extra day to plow into the new year and get an extra day of racing in February.
I'm looking forward to it. We've had one 50-point race. Seems so long ago already, Gene, with the Risen Star 2 weeks ago. I guess we had two 50-point races, but, you know, one race split into two. But the Fountain of Youth, just that's always seemed like sort of the next step on the road. And we had the off week last week from a Derby points perspective, and next week we're going to have three 50-point races. So things certainly really ramping up in the best possible way.
You know, Fountain of Youth is kind of always kind of used the line of demarcation. And, you know, it's kind of it signals that it's about time to get real serious. And I think this race, this year kind of signifies that as much as anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple horses in here. One we have mutual admiration for, who's obviously dazzled at certain points in his young career, but sort of put up or shut up for him, I think. You know, I think we're all hoping to see something from Dennis's moment that tells us he's the horse many thought he could be when he broke his maiden. And then you have a horse like Chance It, who's certainly already proven himself is a worthy stakes competitor, but now the waters are getting deeper for him with the stretch out and facing competition like Dennis's moment. So, as you said, it really is sort of the next hurdle in varying ways for these horses. And I'd be shocked if it's not a key race in terms of how the Derby future wager is bet next week.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Ed Rosa, the director of marketing over at BriskNet, the only place you need to go for all your handicapping tools and needs, and really one of the better handicappers outside of present company in the Commonwealth and the world. We're going to go global here at the end of the show and talk a little bit about what's happening overseas. But, you know, I think, Ed, the key is, you know, before we delve deeply into the Fountain of Youth, the Grade 2 $100,000 race. The point system has certainly, I think, not only changed the way trainers have built their, you know, spring schedules, but it also has, I think, been awfully good at telling us who the best 20 to fill that gate in the first Saturday in May. It's been a really good system, I think, in many ways, other than maybe changing the schedule around for many trainers.
Yeah, I agree. And when it was announced, which I believe was the 2013 Derby, was the first under the point system, so foals of 2010, two-year-olds of 2012, I was dubious. I definitely like the fact right off the rip that they took Derby qualifying out of the hands of the graded stakes committee, which basically is how it worked before because it was based
right
on graded stakes earnings.
Yep.
So if that committee decided some, you know, race was not a grade three and was listed, well, that all of a sudden became not a Derby points race. And if they decided some race was a grade three, all of a sudden it earned you points or earned you, you know, qualifying dollars toward the Derby. And, you know, we were in a situation where the second place finisher in the Delta jackpot was guaranteed a spot in the Derby. You get, you know, 200,000, and that was almost always enough with any other earnings. And no disrespect to any track, but, you know, it's ridiculous that the Delta jackpot would be a win and you're in for the
right
Derby. So,
yeah.
The philosophy of it certainly made sense. I was a little concerned about, you know, where the points would come from and what this would mean for how trainers had to train their horses, because it, you know, clearly had made a subset of races you had to point for, which with the graded stakes earnings, you had a lot more options, but, I definitely think it's worked out. I mean, even a horse like Country House, who was deep on the list last year, got in. And I think that's what a lot of people need to remember is really this system is only for deciding who the last horse in and the first horse out is. It has nothing to do with trying to determine who the best is with the most points, whether you have the top number of points or the 15th, you're on the same pill bottle. So to do what it's supposed to do, which is eliminate the last horse and, you know, get the last horse in, I think it's a great improvement off what they have.
Yeah, and I agree. And you know, you don't see maybe the rabbit that gets in anymore. I mean, they have to earn their way in. And I think it's made it far more legitimate, you know, derby on the first turn of the men as well. Let's delve
And just real quick, the other thing to remember is if there aren't 20 horses in, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, obviously 20 is the norm, but, you know, we've had years where less than 20 started, so it's, you know, to me it certainly makes sense that there might be a year where, you know, when you get to that Monday of Derby week, there's only 18 or 19 that, you know, are ready to go the first Saturday in May, and, you know, in those cases, anyone can enter. So, you know, it still allows you the chance if, you know, for whatever reason you don't have enough points or maybe you have no points, you throw your hat in the ring, but if there's more than 20, then that's what it goes to, and, you know, I think it's about as good as it could be, and I'm not in favor in any way, shape, or form. And I say this as someone who, you know, if they did it this way, might even, you know, be able to be on the panel, and that would be really cool. But this should never be left to a human to decide who gets in.
Yep, I agree. Let's talk about the property. We have to start with Dennis Allbaugh and the Allbaugh family's Dennis's moment. You know, this is a horse that we've heard about, we've seen him run very, very well. We've seen him have difficulty both during a race and at the start of a race. You know, a lot of things happen between a 2-year-old year and a 3-year-old year. And I like to say it's kind of like watching a kid go from junior varsity to varsity. You know, they start to sprout a few hairs on the outside of the leg, and then all of a sudden you look and they got hair under the armpit. You know, it's a real growth spurt, I think, between 2 and 3, and you know, some handle it well and some take some time. Dennis's moment seems to have, if you listen to Dale, and it just seems to have that extra ingredient, that, you know, that little something special that makes him special.
Yeah, he does. You know, whether to see it come together in a grade one or in this case a grade two, we're all waiting for that moment. But I was there for the debut and interviewed Dale in the paddock, in fact. And, you know, Dale's one that definitely likes to tout his horses, and he's good at the trainer speak, as most at that level are, but you're around these guys enough, you kind of separate the wheat from the chaff and really know when, you know, okay, they're actually believe what they're saying. And that was the case on debut, and it didn't work out that day. And then, you know, I think we all agree we saw the real Dennis's moment in his next two. So hard to argue that the talent isn't there, but whether, you know, off the layoff and the 2 to 3, I mean, those are a lot of questions. And as we said, that's kind of what makes the Fountain Youth one of the more special races on this path, because so many do point toward it, is that logical first step that says, hey, we actually have a Derby horse here. We'll see with him. You know, the fan in me wants to see him run off the screen.
Yeah, and, you know, I think everybody probably wants to see that domination, or live up to the word speak. And, you know, it's going to be hard to match the expectation for several reasons in my mind, Ed. One is it's his first start since the Breeders' Cup. We all know what happened in the starting gate there. You know, I like to say that the track that day at Santa Anita was about as deep as, I called it knee deep on a 10-foot basketball player. And, you know, and he not only went to his knees, he went strong, hard to his knees, and he kind of sat there for a minute, or not for a minute, but for a second. You know, he had all kinds of trouble in both of those starts. But, you know, it's his first start since then. This track at Gulfstream has a tendency to get speed-oriented. You know, and I don't think either you or I expect Dennis's moment to be the pace setter. So, you know, how does he match the expectations?
I need to see a win, to be honest with you, which isn't to say he can't. For me to be as high on him as I am now, I need to see a win. Now, that's not to say, you know, he can't have a race he can build off of. I mean, we've seen Dale, I think Sharp Humor, which is 14 years ago now, makes me feel so old, but, you know, he ran that huge second to Barbaro at an even bigger price, and Shackelford as well, I think, you know, was a big price before he won the Preakness after his Derby effort. And, you know, we know Dale's capable of bringing a horse along. So, you know, it's hard to just write off a horse, even if he doesn't win on debut. But the hype has been so high, you know, all his career.
Yep.
I need to see a win to match it. But, you know, they are horses. They do develop as three-year-olds. We obviously want to see him get, you know, a clean run, show some competitive edge, you know, pass some horses, et cetera. And then, you know, you can evaluate at what price you want to take next week if you're still a believer after a loss, et cetera. But in terms of matching the hype and the admiration, you know, I want to have for this horse based on, you know, that Ellis Park race and the Iroquois, you know, I'm looking to be dazzled.
Yeah, and me too. I think we, you know, the one thing you want to do is you want to not only get your horse physically ready, mentally ready as well, and learning how to win is, or you're getting used to winning, expecting to win. These horses of this caliber know the difference. And I think it's as important for Dennis's moment to have a positive experience coming off that last run, but also getting back in that where he knows that he's the winner, and he starts to build that momentum towards Kentucky Derby. I just think it's a big race for him. I think it's a big race physically, getting himself in shape, Grace in shape, but also I think it's a big race for him confidence-wise and mentally. I just firmly believe horses know when they win. They build confidence both in themselves and expect to win, and I think that's a big stage here for Dennis's moment on Saturday is just getting that win.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's the talent there that maybe he does run off the screen, but, you know, at the same time, and I can't think of an example, but, you know, there are horses that early on in their careers blow away the competition, and then, you know, when they have to dig down, you know, they come up a little short, and the opposite of that to me is Rachel Alexandra, who was, you know, dominating her sex and really her whole age group and winning by open lengths all year. And, you know, she got on her belly in the Woodward and got the job done. And there are a lot of horses who just would not have won that race. And I'm talking about grade one animals.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hate to evoke that kind of name, you know, with talking about the Fountain Youth and Dennis's moment, but, you know, those are, you know, when I think of the Derby and, you know, what any horse sometimes has to overcome to just get a clean trip, let alone win, I do like to see, you know, in a prep that, yeah, there was some fight there, whether it's, you know, going inside horses if need be on the turn, you know, making a nice move and passing horses and not stalling in the stretch, just things like that are what, you know, we're all looking for, not just Dennis's moment, but the whole field.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dennis's moment, if he gets a clean break, he leaves there, he's got Flavian Pratt up on his back for the first time, subbing for Irad Ortiz, who will be his jockey as they go forward, according to Dale. But, you know, I don't expect him to be that far off the pace. I don't think he'll be first or second. I think he'll be kind of laying in that three or four hole and, you know, starting to make a nice move of it as they kind of go in and out of the turn. But he's got a horse that has to run dead against what is normally been a speed favoring, if it's not a speed biased racetrack at Gulfstream.
Yeah, no, you can't be too far off. And there's definitely, the speed of the speed in there, I don't think is too dangerous. You know, Shotsky needs it all his own way. And there's a couple in there, to his inside, in fact, who should prevent that. And then you have a horse like Chance It. and I've seen on TV, it'll be really, and even being Cone's horse from the outside, it'll be really interesting to see what they do, because all three of those are outside of Dennis's moment as well. So I definitely have a little bit of a fear of some race riding, and they can box in the favorite, which, you know, certainly always makes for some interesting tactics. But, you know, this is a race where you're going to have to earn it. I mean, even if, you know, let's say we're 1-5 in here off the breeder, he wins the Breeders' Cup and we've already anointed him the Triple Crown winner. This is a race with so many different dynamics with horses stretching out and they have speed, et cetera, that, there just wouldn't be a guinea anyway. So, it's almost kind of a positive if you're a big believer in Dennis's moment that he is coming off, that loss, because, you know, you actually are going to get a much better price than you ever would have got if he had won.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting race for a lot of reasons. I really wanted to see Structure, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, turf go in here. You know, I'm starting to get a little, you know, the horse has got to get to the track sooner or later. But, you know, it is an interesting race because you've got Chancet, and much has been made of Chancet, this Florida bred. You know, he's drawn post position 12. You know, he has already won as a three-year-old. He's four for it. You know, he's never been worse than second in six starts. You know, he came back in nice run in the Mucho Macho Man. What do you make of Chancet? Is he as good as people think he is?
I definitely think he's as good as people think he is. Of course, the question is he a Derby horse? You know, Currency Swap, you know, is by High Cotton. I definitely think there's reason to have some distance questions. He is out of a pleasantly perfect mare, so you do get that influence. But, I mean, this is an exciting horse in my mind. I mean, he's run three triple-digit Bristnet speed ratings already in a row, the last three. And he's the top horse in prime power. I mean, there's a lot to like on paper for sure, and he certainly dazzled and some big money, you know, Florida bred, Florida sire stakes races against some good horses. I just have some distance concerns. And my feeling is, Gene, if you're against Dennis's moment at, I don't know, maybe it'll be 3-2 or even money, I want to reach a little more than just taking the second choice from the 12th post position at 12.
Yeah, this horse is a toss for me. That's not a comment about the horse's abilities or his potential going forward. I just think you just hit on it. The pedigree just gets in the way of me being a true believer that this horse can go the distance. You know, he ran in the Mucho Macho Man, but that was a one turn mile. So, you know, I really have questions if this horse can, you know, with the pedigree. I just think the pedigree eventually has to, in my view of handicapping, and particularly in distance races, although Gulfstream is kind of biased towards speed, Gaffrione will ride Chancet. He's just a toss for me because I really like Dennis's moment. I think he's going to show a lot on Saturday. And then I'm going to pair him up with a couple of longer shots, but I'm tossing Chancet. And I think I've settled on my number two. What's your thoughts as far as a betting perspective? If you use, let's put it that way, Dennis's moment, who do you pair with him?
I think if you're on Dennis's moment, like you're you know, reaching for a price, which unfortunately I have a lot of respect for Astine on TV. I thought when, he kind of chased and made the lead and then got reheaded. I mean, I thought his race in the Mucho Macho Man was solid. And then I see looking at Lucky out of a pulpit mare and no reason not to think he'll actually go on with it versus, you know, Currency Swap. But he's the third choice on the morning line. So that, you know, doesn't get me too excited to pair with the favorite. I actually think Pletcher down on the rail is a little interesting. You know, just broke his maiden, but certainly some of the speed threat. But if you go earlier in his two-turn debut, which was on the turf, he actually pressed the pace there. you know, showed an ability to relax and then made the lead and kind of spit it, and maybe he's not a turf horse or whatever, but that actually looked like a pretty productive race with the third place winner coming back to win. And then he finally broke the maiden stretching back out again at this track and distance. So, you know, with some speed on the outside, maybe he just, you know, gets that ground saving trip and has enough punch to, you know, either hit the number underneath Dennis's moment, or even at, if he's 30-1 on the board in this full field, I'd have to make a win bet. You know, we've just, Pletcher's, you know, I know some people write him off or whatever, just like they did his former boss at times, but he's still capable of winning these races. Yeah. And at a huge price from the rail with this, you know, funky configuration. Yeah. He's the one I want to key with Dennis's moment. And actually I'll say, I'd even say maybe he's the key, and I play him with Dennis's moment and as seen on TV. Like, I don't want to lose if it comes 6-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not using, either any of those, still searching, but, you know, I do think that if you like, it's, you know, the thing that throws Chance out for me is, you know, Liam's Lucky Charm defeated Chance in the Florida Sire Stakes affirmed, at 7 furlongs. You know, I know he was a well-beaten third in the follow-up race to that, but, you know, I've said it, and I'm just not going to use, if Chance runs in the top 2 or 3, he's going to beat me. But I do like a couple of horses in here that I think are really interesting for me. One is Shotsky. You know, I think that the horse, I know you're not a big fan of the Remsen, but this is the son of Blaine. And, you know, I think he's shown speed, but I think the connections are looking to take back a bit in the Fountain of Youth. You know, he set the pace in the Withers, and he ran behind Max Player, but I think that the strategy here is going to be to kind of reach up, grab a hold, and wait a bit, and he's getting a big jock change for me, you know, in getting John Velasquez.
Yeah, and Johnny jumps off his usual trainer,
yep,
which I think is certainly a positive, coming off a win, no less. So, yeah, I mean, it's the price. It's hard for me to, you know, talk you off. And, I mean, he's capable of a similar trip is, you know, the long shot I'm using down on the rail.
Right.
You know, this horse doesn't need the lead. I mean, that's how he won. And, you know, set nice fractions in the Remsen, but at a mile on the 16th, I could see him relaxing a little bit. Liam's Lucky Charm, I'm completely off. I mean, that, you know, he obviously had issues at the gate, fairgrounds, and now he's wheeling right back, but it just seems like, you know, this is the time of year you can't be going the wrong way.
Yeah, agreed. Coming back in 2 weeks, too, is kind of an aggressive approach. The other horse I'm taking a shot with, it's a flyer, I must admit, but I'm going to throw in, and I'm surprised I haven't heard you talk about this horse a little bit.
Julia, I know you're going to say, yeah, Gear Jockey.
Up on Gear Jockey. You know, third in both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and the Bourbon Stakes. Hey, this horse intrigues me for Calumet Farm. And Julian getting the mount, I kind of like Gear Jockey a little bit, if he can get rolling a little bit quicker maybe than the last.
Yeah, that's definitely key and a common issue with Leperu, although he wasn't aboard last time. But, you know, there's, again, speed to run at, so if he pulls the trigger at the right time to get the jump on anyone else closing. Part of the reason I didn't mention him is Scott Shapiro actually likes him a lot, so I didn't want him to think I was stealing his thunder with the pick. But obviously, at this big of a price with Leperu up, you know, depending on how deep I go using long shots, you know, he'd be one I just couldn't let beat me with the right horses. So and now you're on board as well. So Gene, Scott, and Julian is enough for me.
Too much weight on that one, I can already tell. Well, if you're going to play, how do you play? Let's take it this way. We both love Dennis's moment. I've bet this horse in every way, fashion, and form you can operate betting. I've got action out in Vegas. I've got action in pool one, pool two. I'm all over Dennis's moment. Obviously, I'm going to be rooting like crazy. But you and I both have an agreement there. If you go to the next choice, who will it be?
It would be Candy Tycoon, and I'll just so we haven't mentioned him, Country Grammar would be my next choice after that. 15-1 on the line. Castellano needed a mile and an eighth to break his maiden. I typically don't love that, but you know, is it Aqueduct, and if you're stretching him out, that's really your only option.
Yeah.
So I thought Intonalist has definitely been a late developing sire with his progeny. Terrible debut stats, which, you know, tells me they just don't want to go 5 or 6 furlongs. But second out and beyond and stretching out, he's actually been really sharp with some nice speed numbers. So, my approach is probably something like an exact apart wheel, 5-6 over, 1-7, and I'll throw the 8 in there too. So it's $6. And if you know, reverse it, another 6, and then maybe I box the long shots hoping for a big payday. But, I think the ones to throw out are Chance It and the outside horses, basically East Indian and Chance It.
Yeah. I'm just going, I know your famous line. You know what?
Boxes are for shoes.
Boxes are for shoes, but I'm going to box Dennis's moment with my other two picks, Shotsky and, my Julian Leferoux special gear jockey. I'm going to box those, and then I'm going to key Dennis's moment over and under both of those individually. You know, give me some cover with the box, but I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm rooting for Dennis's moment. I'd love to see Dale get off to a great start in this Triple Crown series and build towards that first Saturday in May, and being a Kentuckian by nature and a fan of Dale's and the winningest trainer in the history of Churchill Downs, I surely would like to see the man have a legitimate shot that first Saturday in May. And what a story that would be to be told, not only this year, but
for and what a party after the race if he won.
For several weeks, I would say. Before we leave, my good friend, let's go to the desert of Saudi Arabia. They got the Saudi Cup on Saturday. Any thoughts about the big race there where Maximum Security is going to tee it up? Let's hope the connections don't back out as they have multiple times against any decent competition. Let's hope that they have actually formulated some grit in their stomach this year and will actually take on some better horses. But editorial comment. Who do you like over the desert of Saudi Arabia?
I like Maximum Security. I think he's I think he's the best horse in training in the world. So, you know, and he's traveling across the world with several others. So lie back down from that opinion. You know, kudos to them for getting the field they did, which, you know, for $20 million, that's what you would want. But, I'm sticking with him. I mean, I didn't back down from the Cigar Mile, which he was the favorite, so I'm not, you know, trying to say that was some illuminating pick. But I just really do think he's the best horse in training, and, you know, hoping we see it again in Riyadh.
Well, you know, I don't disagree that it would be the betting choice. I'm not going to bet Maximum Security, and we will play our straight-up head-to-head wager, and I will give you Maximum Security in this race because I'm just that kind of a generous guy.
Dang.
But I think that, and I would love to see Midnight Bassoon win for a multitude of political reasons. I just think it would be awesome to see a filly go over there and beat the Colts and prove that the world of fillies, both the human brand and the horse version, deserve equity in the world. But that's another political statement for another day of discussion. But I do think Baffert will be awfully tough to beat in the Saudi Cup. I think... I think people are underselling Lucho Gusto's performance in the Pegasus. I know that a lot of people question the quality of the field after Maximum Security and others defaulted and went to Saudi Arabia. But I really think this horse, like much like his father, Lucho Macho Man, is a later developing kind of horse. I think that he will be a very difficult out. And I think McKenzie will hook any and all nearing the eighth pole, and it might just set up perfectly for Lucho Gusto to finish this up. I'll take Lucho Gusto against your Maximum Security.
All right, you're on.
All right, we got a breakfast on the line, brother.
I like it.
I like it, too. My man, Ed DeRosa, the Director of Marketing over at Brisnet, the only place you need to go for all your handicapping tools and needs. My friend, it's always a pleasure to discuss horses, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks,
Ed. Everyone. Thank you.
Yes, sir. See you, brother.